And now, fighting out of the red corner, CagePotato.com!
Bruce Buffer, everybody! Let's hear it for him!
And I'm not going to touch that one with a 25-foot pole, Morrow.
I'd like to touch it with a 25-centimeter one, but instead we'll just call the fight as now with Neon.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Yo, this your boy Kimbo Slice. Check this out. When you ain't got shit to do and you're in front of your computer, I want you to read CagePotato.com. CagePotato.com. Because tapping out is for bitches.
Hey, my name is Carl the Heat Breeze, and listen to Bum Rush Radio.
I'm Steve Velasquez, and Cage Potato is the best.
This is Jorge Rivera, and you're listening to the Bum Rush Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome to another live, interactive edition of the Bum Rush Radio Show, brought to you by CagePotato.com. I'm Ben Goldstein. That's Mike Russell. Chad Dundas is the other guy over there. Big high five to everybody who's listening in right now on TalkShoe. Actually, I think at this point it's just Carmite, my cat. But if you have a question to ask or something to discuss with us, please call in, and we'll get to you as soon as we feel like it. Or just write something in the comments in the messaging field, and we'll respond throughout the show. So, while we wait for the questions to come in and the people to arrive, I thought we could just get started by running down just a few points from last weekend's UFC Fight Night show, Nogueira versus Davis, that I found interesting. As we all saw, Phil Davis beat Antonio Rogério Nogueira by unanimous decision in the main event. He had some trouble landing his takedowns at first, but he eventually, you know, prevailed and spent a lot of the fight on top. You know, people have been comparing Phil Davis to John Jones pretty much since Davis first got to the octagon, you know, had his first UFC fight. I guess because they're both African-Americans who come from a wrestling background, that's enough to make them identical to the casual fan, apparently. But, you know, how far away is Davis from being on that top contender or champion level where the comparisons actually make sense? How many fights away is he from getting and deserving that sort of hyper-comparisons? Chad, you're generally a cynic. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's, first of all, it's probably unfair to compare anyone to John Jones or to compare John Jones to anyone else. And you got to remember, Phil Davis, I think, only has, what, 9 fights? He's only been training for a couple of years. So, you know, it's hard to say how quickly they'll fast forward him into a title shot or into contendership status. But I'd like to see him get, you know, 3 or 4 more fights at least, just to try to, you know, improve his striking a little bit, I think, because when he can't get those takedowns, he does look a little bit lost on his feet, aside from the kicks that he was throwing out there during the fight night.
Yeah, I mean, even when he did get the takedowns and he was on top of Nogueira, I mean that was the biggest difference between him and John Jones right there. It seems like, you know, Jones has that killer instinct when he's on top that a lot of wrestlers in the UFC really don't have. I mean, when John Jones is on top of you, he's throwing down elbows until the fight is stopped, pretty much. I think that's the biggest difference between these two. Mike, what do you think? How far away is Davis before we can, you know, consider him sort of elite caliber in light heavyweight division?
Oh, man. You know what? I thought he had a little bit of trouble with Nogueira, and I think, you know, the comparisons between him and Jones, I think, are a little bit premature, but you never know, though. I was one of the ones that thought maybe Jones beating Shogun would have been a little bit premature at this point in his career. So
right.
I still think he's probably at least a year or two off of even, you know, maybe deserving a comparison like that. He's kind of, I don't know. He hasn't, to say he hasn't impressed me, I guess would be untrue, but that fight really, you know, I was kind of hoping for Nogueira in the fight because I didn't want to have to see him go out, you know, like Krokop did, but mm-hmm. I thought that there were points in the fight where he was going to win the fight. So I don't know. I think it's a bit premature, but like you said, I think the comparisons, like, I don't even know why they're comparing him to Jones other than the fact that both guys are black and both guys are, you know, pretty athletic and pretty muscular and explosive, you know, is what Joe Rogan likes to say. But I think, I'd like to see him probably take on a little bit better competition before we start, you know, saying that he's the next Jesus Jones.
Do you got Jesus Jones? Isn't that a band from the 90s?
It was.
Mike, did you have anybody specific in mind? You say you want them, you see him a little higher up the ladder.
Put him up against a guy like Ryan Bader or a guy like...
It's not bad.
You know, there's probably a ton of fights that you could do. You know, maybe loser of Machida and Randy. I don't know if he deserves the winner at this point, but, you know, it's hard because there's kind of a deadlock with all these fights that are happening or that are supposed to happen in the division. Like, we got, like, the Rashad and Jones fight, but who knows when it's going to happen. And I don't know. I'd like to see him against a guy like Bader just to see how his wrestling holds up against an elite caliber wrestler like Bader.
I mean, that makes sense to me. Chad, you got anything better?
No, I think Ryan Bader or, you know, any of those guys that Mike mentioned would be good. I would think that putting Davis in there with the loser of Machida or Couture or even like a Rampage Jackson, I think that might be a little bit too fast for Phil Davis. I wouldn't even have a problem with them putting him in there with somebody like Luis Kane or you know, sort of I would have said Thiago Silva too if Thiago Silva had not just tested positive for something or rather fake urine. But, you know, I don't think that Davis needs to jump straight to that top tier right now. I think he could fight one of those mid-range guys, and I personally would be okay with it.
Yeah. Karma, my cat says, give him Vera. I guess Karma wants to see Vera get fired, re-fired again as soon as possible. I guess we all do. But moving on, Dan Hardy and Anthony Johnson, they promised us a slugfest in the lead-up to the fight. This was interesting. Then Anthony Johnson sort of called an audible in the cage and, you know, laid on top of Hardy for a lot of the fight. Johnson made no apologies afterwards. He said he needed to win more than anything else. So now Hardy has three, you know, losses in a row. Thoughts on that fight? Was Hardy a fool to trust Johnson, you know, to stand and bang? I mean, if he's going to keep getting out wrestled, does he even belong in the UFC? Mike, what are your thoughts on the fight?
Man, you know, Hardy's one of those guys that I think, you know, with the fight against GSP, he proved a lot of people thought, you know, he had no business being in the cage with him. But you got to look at the fact that he, you know, how many sub attempts did he get out of, you know, and how many takedowns did he, you know, actually, you know, he couldn't stop the takedown. His wrestling is his weakest point, but I don't know. To me, that fight, I was let down a bit because I was hoping for a slugfest. And, you know, Hardy was very close to being let go. And I think that if he had gone out and maybe been finished, he might have been let go, but I don't know. He needs to join up. He's been working with 10th Planet in LA for a long time now. And I think he really needs to go someplace with some elite-level wrestlers. Like, he needs to go to, like, you know, an AKA or – problem is, he's not going to go train with Koscheck, and he's not going to go train with Fitch. But he needs to find a camp or a wrestling school or someplace that has a decent wrestling program or even bring in a coach that knows what he's talking about. Because I think, you know, that's always been with a lot of these British fighters. It's always been, I guess, the weak spot, as they say, that the level of wrestling – over in the UK as compared to in the States and even some of the Canadian camps is head and shoulders different. So I don't know. I'd like to see, he's a fighter I like watching fight when he performs, but it just seems like Anthony Johnson, just like you said, was just doing enough to win that fight, which was, you know, from a fan's perspective, I'd rather watch a John Fitch fight than watch the way he fought that fight.
Right. You know, after the fight, Dan Hardy said he wanted Chris Lytle next. You know, he desperately wants someone who will, you know, produce a good fight with him. And actually, we just saw today that Lytle sort of responded back. He said, yeah, absolutely. I know what that's like. You know, you want to have a good fight and the other, you know, person doesn't play along, so to speak. So I'm down. So Hardy and Lytle want each other. Chad, does that make sense to you? Is that a fight you'd want to see? You know, as we saw, Lytle's coming off a sort of an upset loss to that crazy ass Brian Ebersole. So they're both in bad need of a win. That's almost like a winner go home fight, but it could be interesting, right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care about either of those guys, to be honest with you. You can't. I mean, you know exactly what you're going to get out of both of them. They're probably going to come out and throw punches for three rounds. And, you know, if for people that like that, I suppose that'll be good. But to me, it's just kind of I mean, I feel like Hardy called him out because Hardy thinks he can beat him.
Yeah. And, you know, let's just throw in the fact that last time someone did stand and bang with Hardy, it was Carlos Condit, and Hardy
right.
Got knocked out. It's tough. I mean, you know, maybe Hardy should go for a more measured wrestling-based game plan at this point and do the Anthony Johnson thing and just win at all costs. But you know, whatever, Hardy Hoyle, that'll be the that's the one they'll promote as, oh, this one's going to take fight of the night and it'll eventually let us down. But you know, good luck to both of those guys. Finally, I think the only other thing I want to talk about is of course Chan Sung Jung, Korean Zombie, sort of redeemed himself and got his first official win. He finished Leonard Garcia, first official win in, you know, Zuffa. You know, he lost in WEC beforehand and blah, blah, blah. But finished Leonard Garcia by Twister. It was a rematch of their fight of the year from last year. He did not let it go to the judges this time, very wisely. I mean, at this point, I'm just thrilled to see Garcia lose. It sort of feels like karmic retribution to me. What did you guys think of the fight? And, you know, were you sort of just as pleased as I was at the outcome? And who do you think Jung should get next? Chad, any thoughts?
I just think that, you know, Chan Sung Jung is one of those guys that it's starting to feel like no matter what happens to him in the fight, he has fights that you want to watch just because his three performances since he signed with Zuffa have been that first crazy slugfest with Leonard Garcia. And then in his next fight, he got kicked in the face by George Roop. And then in this fight, you know, he comes out with the Twister submission and the first guy in the octagon ever to pull that off. So it's, and you know, he's only 24 years old. It's not, you don't look at him and think he's the best fighter in the division, but at the same time, when he's on the card, you sort of bookmark it as a fight that you definitely want to see. I haven't really given much thought to who he would match up well against for his next fight, but you know, whoever it is, I think I would probably want to watch it.
Absolutely. Mike, your thoughts?
Oh man, you know, it's one of those things that with the Twister, I don't know if you guys have ever grappled much or. My very first class at the 10th Planet affiliate that I was at, the instructor put me in a Twister, and it's one of the most painful submissions you'll ever be caught in your life.
Looks
your
like
spine
it.
Feels like it's going to break, and to catch it, though, like everybody said, you know, there's varying degrees of opinions on people saying how easy it is and this and that and how it's a wrestling move, and, you know, Eddie talked about it being a wrestling move, but the way that he's modified it to actually have it as a submission, the wrestling move was like a pin, so... It was a thing of beauty, I think, to actually see it in action. It's the same as seeing, you know, like a Gogo Plata or something. It's like it's something you don't get to see every day. So I was pretty happy to see it. But again, you know, I think that a lot of people kind of jumped off the bandwagon when he got knocked out by George Roop with the Korean Zombie. So it was good to see him get the win. I think that, you know, a couple more wins and, he's one of those guys that, you know, now he's proven that he can stand up and he can do it on the ground. So I don't know. He's a guy I like to see fight.
Yeah, he's in the mix now, as they say. I just want to announce Large Midget has joined the call. For Karma, Large Midget, we have three non-members. So I don't even know who they are right now. But
probably us.
Hopefully we'll give you guys some phone time a little later. I just want to get through some headlines. But in the meantime, if you guys have anything, any questions, just to submit via text. Please do so, and yeah, we want to make this a very interactive show, but you know, we got to hear ourselves talk first, so that's the way it's going to go. Anyway, moving on to some headlines. Big story this week, as one of you mentioned, I think, Chad, Thiago Silva was suspended pending a Nevada State Athletic Commission hearing because the urine sample he submitted before UFC 125 was not consistent with human urine, as we've been calling it. He pulled a Randleman. So today he admitted to using a urine adulterant. He said he re-injured his back before the Vera fight, which he won, and decided to get some unapproved injections rather than pull out of the fight. He said, you know, he had to stay in the fight, so he took something, and then he did something to his urine to mask it or, you know, submitted some synthetic urine. So he's likely going to face a one-year suspension, a fine, and a change of his win over Vera to a no contest. That's usually how these things go in Las Vegas. You know, big story. Any sympathy for Silva in this situation or... I don't know what you say. Like, do you sort of respect the fact that he's just fought no matter what, or is that just total bullshit to you? Chad, I don't know. What are your general thoughts on this whole situation?
I thought it was strange and also sort of telling that he released this apology that really sort of tried to gloss over the fact that he was probably taking steroids or some kind of anti-inflammatory, at least, some sort of banned substance. Like, the statement that he released only referred to it in like the vaguest possible terms. Instead, like he released this apology that instead, you know, apologizes for using a urine masking agent. And it's just like, well, you know, that's fine. But the root cause of you having to use that, you know, adulterant, is that what they were calling it?
The
root cause of you having to use that was because you were also taking steroids. And it's just like, so it was like the classic misdirectional apology. So I thought it was weird. I thought that the MMA junkie story, like, tried to spin it in the most positive possible light, sort of saying, hey, look how great of a guy Thiago Silva is for coming out and apologizing for this when other guys have tried to sort of sweep it under the rug. And it's like, well,
there's that bias you have when, like, someone gives you an exclusive and you don't want to just, you know, torch them in the same article. So it's like, you know, I just sort of expected they're going to play it like, oh, we're going to be fair. But of course, it's the fact that, hey, Thiago gave us the first look at this apology of his. We got to stay in good terms with him. And obviously, that's what's going on here a little bit. But go on.
It's like when the UFC gives you media credentials and then, you know, you don't want to put up pictures of one of the ring girls and lose that, right?
Who would do that? What kind of unprofessional website would do that? God, blogs. These internet guys are ruining the sport.
Yeah, that poor girl.
Chad, did you have anything else to add? It just
seems to me like almost even more half-assed than just trying to deny it. Like, he apologized, but he sort of apologized for this sort of secondary thing that he did that wasn't really the root rule breakage that he committed. So to me, I just thought it was even more lame than your normal steroid apology and or denial.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you know, everybody says that, you know, steroids in professional sports are a problem, but it just strikes me at how similar the story is, and the fact that, you know, Silva got injured, so he took steroids to help him recover, and he got caught, and that's apparently, you know, something that is very prevalent in the sport, and B, that the punishment is the exact same. He'll get his 1-year suspension and come back, he'll get his fine, he'll get his no contest. Are we making any progress whatsoever? I mean, I think the last time we spoke about this, I think it was when, you know, the Chael Sonnen story first came out and before we heard his explanation and excuse. It just seemed like, you know, I know I said it before, like, if you want to punish these guys, just, you know, release them from their contracts if they get caught, you know, pissing dirty, and then maybe we might see some progress. But you can't just say, oh, you know, we're doing everything we can do and, you know, just give them, you know, and obviously, a 1-year suspension, that's kind of a big deal. It's not, you know, it's preventing you from earning for a year. But, you know, if you really want to make an impact and put a dent in this problem, this is what you do. You fire guys for testing positive for steroids. I mean, am I wrong? Mike, I don't know. What are your overall thoughts on the situation?
I think, you know, it's funny because you look back at Thiago's training partner at ATT, who shares his name, Thiago Alves. You look at what he got caught for. You know, I know everybody's saying, oh, it was a diuretic that he took. Well, the diuretic he took was a masking agent for steroids, you know, and it's like, yeah. It's almost like, you know, look at this hand like a magician, you know, where I'm going to tell you one story and then you get the other one, because it seems to me like maybe they're just, you know, covering up the real story. Well, I found it kind of odd that he said, he went so far as to say that he got some injections of some banned substances, but never named the banned substances. You know, if you're going to go that far, you might as well tell us what it is, because if it's an anti-inflammatory or it's a cortisone shot, those aren't banned substances. What kind of banned substance did he get injected into his back? You know, like, was it, you don't get pain reliever injected typically, like a topical pain reliever, into your spine if you have a back injury. So I'm really interested to hear what the substances were. I'm hoping somebody, you know, can get that out of him or get that out of ATT, but it's almost like, you know, it's like pleading guilty to a lesser offense to me that he's claiming this is what happened. He's like, you know, this is what I did and I'm sorry and please forgive me. But, you know, the point is, if that test was run and we would have known exactly what he was on, he might have gotten a stiffer punishment. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what they do at the hearing. But to me, it doesn't seem likely that it was just, you know, I don't know. I'm I guess reading into it maybe a little bit more, but it kind of pisses me off that, you know, they're telling us kind of half the story. This is what I did, but we're not going to tell you what we did. So I don't know.
And it's a little frustrating because you read that statement that he released, and there's this whole preamble about, I'm just going to read it, a little bit of it. When you make a bad decision, you can either make the situation worse by trying to cover it up or lie about it, or just stick your head in the sand and refuse to acknowledge it even happened. Or you can own up to it with an honest explanation, accept the consequences of your actions, apologize, learn from it, and move on. Own up to it with an honest explanation. But as you mentioned, he just glossed over the fact, like, what he was taking. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I got some injections in my back that were unapproved. It's like, well, if you want to tell the whole story, if you want to, like, promote yourself as an honest guy, then tell the whole story. If not, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You're just, you know, you're a steroid cheat like the rest of them. Large Midget says, at least he can come up with some convoluted story to deny any wrongdoing like Chael did. Right. Well, this story is less entertaining as a result, but he is, you know, hiding parts of the truth. I mean, it just, you know, yeah, I agree with Mike. Just, you know, if you say you want to own up to it, then do so, and then just, you know, give us all the details, whatever. What are you guys saying? Let's move on from this. Also this week, another story I want to talk about, more fuel was added to the rumors of Royce Gracie fighting at UFC Rio in August because he canceled his seminar tour in the UK. It's strange because I can't think of one fighter currently on the UFC's middleweight or welterweight rosters who wouldn't be a huge favorite against Royce Gracie at this point. Maybe they bring someone back from the old days, Chemo, Tank, one of the Shamrocks. If Royce actually fights again in the UFC, who's the ideal opponent? And I do want to open up this up to the people who are listening in the chat room as well. You know, let's say this is a given that Royce is competing again. Who would you like to see him fight against? Chad, have you given this any thought?
Nobody. No, I haven't given it any thought. It was a bad idea when they did it the first time. Like, everybody knew
what,
he was going
to... Oh, he overtrained for that fight.
Yeah.
And he under-steroided it for it.
Yeah. Everybody knew that he was going to get his ass handed to him by Matt Hughes. Then he showed up and he did get his ass handed to him by Matt Hughes. And when it was over, the thing you thought was, oh, well, at least we never have to see Royce Gracie fight again. But now apparently they're going to try to throw him back out there again. So to me, it's just, it's almost unthinkable what a bad idea it is.
It's a terrible idea. Why don't give you, you know, Henzo another chance? Wasn't he released after like a couple of bad performances? But yet that seems like more in the ballpark of reality than Royce Gracie. God, I don't know. Mike, any ideal opponent? Put on your fantasy matchmaker hat. It doesn't have to make sense. This is Rio. Anything goes.
That's the thing. You know, you look at, they don't even have like a Danny Abadi they can throw him up against or anybody, you know, that's going to be an easy fight for him.
It doesn't have to be like a shitty fight. Like, there has to be a name value to it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, in the report that I wrote, I thought, you know, if they were going to put him up against somebody, you know, Matt Hughes, it may raise his stock, which it shouldn't. If you look at reality of it, you beat a win against a 44-year-old Royce Gracie isn't really going to, you know, shouldn't raise your stock. But people look at, it's like everybody calling at Wanderlei Silva because they want to beat the old Pride legend that was a killer back in the day. I don't know. To me, there's nobody that I am jumping at going, oh, man, you know who I want to see him fight. But in the same sense, the fanboy in me wants to see, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Royce fight because, you know, we're hoping for the old Royce. It's like Krokop. I don't think I've ever turned off a Krokop fight midway through the fight. I've probably looked at it, you know, and thought, oh, Jesus, what are you doing out there, Mirko? But I don't know. I can't think of anybody I'd like to see him fight. But like I said, I don't think I'd not tune in to his fight, depending on who he fight. But, like, you look at it. He weighs 180 pounds. You're not going to put him up against a middleweight because he'd get killed, but who are you going to put him up against? Like an Anthony Johnson or a Tiago Alves or, Dan Hardy? That's what I thought that, you know, maybe they want to, or a Mike Swick, you know, somebody that they're looking at getting back on track by getting a name win. But it's the same as Matt Hughes. Even when Matt beat him a few years ago, it's not like it should have done anything for his career, but it probably made Matt Hughes feel pretty damn good about himself.
I've got it. You put him up against Tom Lawler as Art Jimerson. Come out with the one glove. It'll be funny. It could be the curtain jerker match. No one will ever have to see it.
Is that a pun on his alleged porn tape?
No, actually, I wasn't even thinking about that. Curtain jerker, obviously, for those that aren't aware, that just means the first fight of the night.
Yeah.
But also, in case other people aren't aware, Tom Lawler is in a sex tape that you can find on the internet. I don't think it works if you search Tom Lawler. It's under an assumed name, but it's definitely him. So he joins the ranks of Maha Sakurai and I guess someone else that was in, you know, Middle East's rumor mill. I'm not sure who the third person is. You know, whatever. Unless you know, Mike. I mean, you're always on the inside with these things. Porn.
On the inside of what? Who the other porn? I think that, was that not who they were talking about?
Tom? Were they just sort of behind the story on that one?
I don't know if that was that one or if it might have been, like, when you think about it, somebody said it was somebody that dated a celebrity. So who, what fighters have dated celebrities?
Well, Josh Koscheck was rumored to be connected with, you know, that Playboy chick for a while. But that was,
yeah.
He denied it.
Yeah, I don't know. I almost don't want to think about it. So
let's move on.
What are those things? Yeah.
This is terrible. So, okay, one other thing. Maybe this is sort of interesting to me. it was reported last week that Shane Carwin's return opponent will be John Olav Enemo. I hope I'm not totally butchering that name, but that'll be in June in Vancouver, I think. So Enemo is a 2003 Abu Dhabi Combat Club champion. He's the only guy to beat Hoyer Gracie there, still, I think. That's sort of his claim to fame. But he hasn't competed in MMA since 2006. He submitted James Thompson. That was, you know, also by far his biggest victory in MMA, by the way. I'm right to think this is a total squash match, right? Like, I remember posting this on Facebook and being like, oh, my God, how does this get approved? And, you know, you had a I don't know if they're grappling junkies or what, but they're like, no, this guy, I mean, he's like the ADCC champion. He's, you know, he's still dangerous. He's going to – and I'm like, look, it's two different sports. I don't know what to tell you. I wouldn't expect, I don't know, Carwin to just run shop on Enemo in a grappling tournament just because he beat up, you know, Frank Mir and Gonzaga. They're two different sports. This is a squash match, right? You know, I'll start with our biggest jiu-jitsu apologist, Mike Russell. What's up with this booking, and does Enemo have a chance?
Oh, man, you know, I think one of the reasons why is everybody loves a come-from-behind jiu-jitsu win by a guy that everybody counts at. So I think, you know, people are giving him his grappling credentials, I think, are going to translate into MMA. But we've seen, you know, with guys like Maya, we've seen with, you know, other guys like Andre Galvao, that once you get up against a guy that punches you in the face, everything changes. So, you know, I know everybody keeps saying, oh, he's training with Golden Glory and, you know, with Alistair Overeem and all those guys like that. But, I mean, I don't know. It's tough to bet against Carwin, I think, coming out of, you know, the fight that he was having up until, you know, he had the acid lactosis or whatever the hell do you call it. I thought he was doing really well. So I don't know. I think that you're probably right in saying that it's going to be one-sided, but, like, you know, I guess my picks have proven in the past, you can't really bank on anybody. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a fun fight, but I think Carwin's probably going to come out and finish him as quickly as he usually does.
I think so. Chad, is how you also see it? And would there be a better opponent for Carwin at this point?
Well, I think almost anyone would be a better opponent for Carwin. But I mean, Enemo asked for this fight, is my understanding. And for some reason,
they're going to give it to him.
Yeah. So for some reason, they're going to give it to him. I mean, I don't know. I guess I see the logic in it, in that maybe Enemo is a guy that you can sort of build up for promotional purposes just because of his ADCC championship and his grappling credentials and things like that. Since Carwin's been out for a while, you know, he's desperately trying to get people to forget that his name was on that steroid list. So maybe for the UFC, it makes sense that you can throw Carwin out there against this guy and just have Carwin knock him out in the first round and sort of get Shane Carwin back on track. But I don't really see a legitimate explanation for why it needs to happen.
Right. It sort of almost like reminds me of, you know, what they sort of used to do in Japan, where they would just take, like, you know, judo gold medalists and put them up against the guys with a lot of MMA experience. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it's a case like that the Polish guy, like Paweł Nestula, where, like, he just gets, like, raped by Alexander Emelianenko and Josh Barnett and shit. And it's just like, this is a mismatch. You're, you know, putting him in there for credentials that don't really apply in this sport in this day and age. Yeah, whatever. Carwin by first round knockout, I guess, even with the layoff. The last thing, I mean, I don't know how much you want to say about it, but there are two MMA events happening right now. I wish Rex were here to talk about one of them, Bellator 39, which is happening on Saturday. But you also have the first Strikeforce show in Stockton, which is Strikeforce Challengers. Just lost Satoshi Ishii. That was sort of the only reason I was interested. Are either of you guys interested in any of these fights? Well, what's the best fight of the weekend, if you've even considered it, if you have anything to add? Mike, have you even looked at these fight cards yet?
Oh, man. I was looking forward to the Ishii fight, and I think, you know, and even, what's his name, 10th Planet guy that dropped out of the Strikeforce card. I forget his name now. Anyway, I think I'll probably be more interested in the Bellator card. They've got, you know, some half-decent fights in that. They've been surprising me with a lot of the fights thus far. You know, with,
how about the second inverted flying triangle in a row?
Man, that was crazy. Saturday.
What are the odds?
Yeah, it was. I don't know, man. It was a good fight. And I don't know. I think that between that, you know, the Friera brothers, I think they've got some lightning in a bottle with those guys. They're pretty, you know, I don't think anybody knew how good they were before we saw the last couple fights they had. So I don't know. I think that if Bellator can, you know, pick up their ratings a little bit, I don't understand why their ratings have dropped off so much. Maybe the MTV crowd is hoping that it's going to be like Bully Beatdown or something just from what they're watching. But I don't know. I'm surprised that they didn't leave Stockton to something, you know, with Nick Diaz on the card or Melendez on the card.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
Yeah, very weird.
But yeah, I wonder if it's for Bellator, if it's a matter of just like, you know, no real name brands on the card. You like, I mean, last Saturday, I think that's the one that pulled in just 150,000 viewers. The biggest name on the, I mean, there was no big name on the card. You had Daniel Gracie, Christian Mukumbo. It was the quarterfinals at a light heavyweight tournament, and like you really don't know about any of these guys. So they didn't even have any like sort of UFC cast offs to rely on. They do this Saturday where you have, you know, Ben Saunders, Dan Kramer, I guess, is the other one. But at least they will have Eddie Alvarez fighting again. He'll be taking on Pat Curran. That should be a good fight. But it is, you can't just, you know, put MMA on TV and, you know, some cable channel and expect people to show up. Like there needs to be some sort of name recognition. They just haven't had it every single week. Hopefully things will pick up, but it's not clear. It's, you know, there's just like not a lot of stars in these tournaments right now. Chad, any reason to watch MMA this weekend?
Well, I think the Strikeforce show is interesting just because it's the first Strikeforce show since the company got bought by Zuffa. And while Dana White kind of said in the interview with Ariel Helwani that he wasn't sure that we would see any changes that would be apparent just from watching the show on TV, I'm interested to kind of tune in and just see if there is anything you notice, if the event seems to run a little bit more smoothly, if maybe they, if time allows, if they can throw some prelim fights on there, or if anything at all kind of indicates that there's a new boss running the show and that things, you know, have any more of a professional quality to them. I also think that Justin Wilcox is kind of an interesting prospect, I guess you would say. He's another one of those powerful wrestlers who has like a weird 1940s carnival strongman body physique, and he's won, I think, four or five fights in a row since he came over and signed with Strikeforce. He fights, I think, Rodrigo Dam this weekend, which isn't stellar matchmaking, but, you know, Strikeforce only has like two or three guys in the lightweight division. You would think that if Wilcox can have like a halfway decent showing and get a finish, that he would have to at least vault up to a main Strikeforce show card and fight, you know, somebody as sort of like a precursor to maybe getting a shot at Gilbert Melendez somewhere down the line. But you're right in saying that, you know, there's not a lot of like big name attractions or real interest peaking stuff going on this weekend. But those are, I think, just a couple of reasons why I'll probably at least fast forward through most of Strikeforce, but watch, you know, parts of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You said that, you know, Dana White and the UFC said, oh, you know, things will look the same. But, you know, obviously there are already a few things behind the scenes that are different. I think this week we learned that they're not doing amateur fights anymore for Strikeforce, which was sort of how they built their undercards at their live shows. You know, they would just take local guys and you know, half of the undercard would just be straight up amateur fights. And also, you know, on a related note, we hear that story where they're making Strikeforce fighters sign, you know, contracts with Zuffa, sort of, not even before their Strikeforce contracts are over, just they're re-signing to Zuffa. And Fight Opinion had this long sort of diatribe about, or this interpretation, how this just meant they want the contracts, you know, with Zuffa right away, so that, you know, they have more leverage in the Las Vegas court system. You know, I'm not really an expert on that stuff myself, but it seems like the business as usual thing, you know, when you get down to little details, it's not really so much. But I don't know, the contract situation. Mike, do you know anything about this, or do you have any insight?
No, I've heard parts of it, and I don't know. It's weird to me that they can actually do that. Is that the story that they're trying to bully them into signing it, or that they're just trying to get like guys that are like, are these contracts even expired yet?
The way I understand it, no. They're come on, it's the UFC. They just be like, we own your contract now.
Yeah. Where are you gonna go? You gonna go to the MFC?
Yeah, don't say that. Ryan Jamo is a dear friend of ours. How dare you?
I'm pretty sure he knows that's not the end of the line for him. So.
Yeah, he's doing well. Who did he fight next?
Replaced his opponent. Yeah, he was supposed to fight Emmanuel Newton, and I think they're bringing in some guy that's like a 10-2 or 12-2 guy to fight him. So he's, you know, a little bit of a different training camp. But I still think, you know, looking at the guy's record in some of his fights, I still think he's going to be okay. But I think he's only got a couple more fights left. And he's also got a clause that the UFC or Strikeforce comes calling, and he can move on. So I don't know. He was on the Ultimate Fighter, and he kind of lost out on that because he said he wasn't quite ready for it. But we'll see. I don't know. That's the thing that bothers me about this whole thing is that a lot of fighters now, you know, I was even thinking, you know, in the back of my head, Carol Parisian obviously doesn't have a chance either place because he's talked to both companies and they both basically blacklisted him. But guys like Paul Daly, you know, if this had happened a year ago, what the hell would have happened to Paul Daly? You know, I can't see Strikeforce being owned by the UFC and having him badmouth the UFC going, yeah, come fight for us, Paul. You know, we got a home for you over here. I don't know. To me, it's going to affect the fighters in a very negative way. And that, you know, that way, you know, a guy like Brandon Vera, you know, he hasn't won a decent fight in a while. He gets dropped. Well, he's not going to be able to go to Strikeforce or even Strikeforce Challengers or M1 or wherever the hell else he's, you know, all these options.
He's going to be co-headlining events with James Irvin. Wherever the, you know, random events that Irvin competes at now, that's where Vera's going
to
be.
Wherever they'll allow guys that are supposed to be suspended because of steroid use.
You brought up Paul Daly. He actually just gave a different interview saying, you know, when he beats Nick Diaz and becomes a champion, then he'll have leverage. I really think that's what he's banking on. Because he figures they won't be able to just let him go if he is the Strikeforce champion. I don't even know if that's true, but you know, the fact that, you know, his whole plan relies on him beating Nick Diaz to have some sort of job security, it's a tough situation. I mean, we'll just put it that way. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah. The fact that, you know, I think that banking on that is stupid because you look at the fact that Strikeforce has all their ducks in a row as far as their legal team with, you know, with Cyborg, the way that they don't have her in a contract right now, and yet she still contracted them for a year due to the Champions Clause in her contract. So to think that you're going to have the upper hand on them now that, you know, Zuffa's probably looked at all the contracts and made clauses where they need to, I really don't think you can't bet on yourself, I think, when going up against, you know, a team like that. You look at what Ken Pavia is going through and what Bellator is going through with the lawsuit now. I don't know. I think he's maybe fooling himself into thinking he's going to win if it's going to be a little bit of leverage he's going to gain off of winning the title. As if they can't just at any time say, sorry, you're cut. You know, I think UFC have that right. They say that, you know, I remember hearing somewhere that somebody said that in the bottom of the contract somewhere, it says they can let you go for any reason. So,
mm-hmm. It is especially tough for someone like Cyborg because, I mean, her situation is, you know, the UFC doesn't have any interest in promoting women's fights. So once all these contracts run out, I mean,
where are you going to go?
Nowhere. I mean, she's pretty much out of luck. So, yeah. I mean, I am sure some of these smaller, you know, promotions will just, you know, climb over themselves to get Cyborg to fight. But, you know, she's sort of done being a TV fighter, which is very unfortunate. But, you know, in brighter news, Rex 13 has just joined the call, or the chat room at least. You know, we've talked so much, maybe we should take a couple calls, because actually I can't stay for very much longer. But if Large Midget or Karma or Rex want to jump on and talk about whatever.
Large Midget, you are live.
Large, what's up?
Oh, holy shit. I didn't even think we were running your radio show. What's good, everybody?
Are you all right? Are you decent?
Oh, I'm decent. I've been kind of like paying more attention to the chat and the text than what you guys are actually saying.
Oh, that's
yeah,
nice.
Us too. Yeah.
Story of our lives.
any responses to what we've been discussing so far, or topics that you want to bring up?
Well, I'm not sure if you guys read anything I've been saying about the steroid issue, but
why don't you just recap what you've been writing?
Well, I think it's sort of like the UFC or MMA in general's dirty little secret that, like, the steroid testing, it's really not that strict at all. You know, some places they go, like, not all the fighters get tested. You know, in some countries, nobody gets tested at all. And they're just saying now that, you know, Thiago's, they don't even watch the guys pee. Like, really? Like, what are they even doing? Like,
they keep one eye on them. Keith Kaiser did say that I mean, he saw enough to see that, you know, something that looked like the tip of Kevin Randleman's penis was hanging out of his shorts. So they did keep some sort of watchful eye, but now they'll have to really get their faces up in it. And that terrifies me even more. It's like I was writing on the site, like, you know, one bad apple spoils a bunch. Now you got Keith Kaiser's face in your crotch. So thank you, Thiago Silva. But yeah, it's like now they have to. Because now, you know, Keith has said it publicly, we have to, you know, wash these guys' piss. We have to make sure that these are penises, which the urine is coming out of.
And that they're warm and that the temperatures are correct. And
that they respond to stimulus like penises.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have to have Ariane there in the bathroom to make sure.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad. Actually, yeah, there's a bright side right there. But I personally, don't say
that about this poor girl.
The Octagon girls be the ones that watch them.
She suffered enough. Yeah, I'm just going to sort of lose my mind if Dana White says one more time, we can't really do anything that's up to the commission. Because as I said, you can release a guy from his contract for just putting in one bad performance. So don't tell me you can't do anything else. Go on, Large Midget. Was there more to it that you wanted to rant about before I interrupted you?
I'm good, man. I'm just going to keep on listening. I'm a little bit short guy. I don't have anything to do at the moment. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. We appreciate you calling, and it seemed like a good time in Jersey, man. Thanks for keeping Karma out of trouble.
He was the one keeping me out of trouble. I'm lucky.
Speaking
I
of
had
which, we'll bring Karma.
I was afraid some of the guys in
the oh, man. Keeping me out of trouble. You were so drunk, it was ridiculous. Dude. They stopped serving midget beer, right? So he's like, ho, I'll show them. Pulls out a bottle of vodka.
I never got cut off. I did not get cut off.
Dude, somebody got cut off. I don't know. They would not have served you beer in New Jersey at that point, dude. He would stand up and he was like, fuck you, John Jones. Fuck you.
I'm an MMA fan. That's
you guys want to let you know?
Yeah, people.
You guys can talk about yourself.
I couldn't afford to have gotten drunk at that place.
This is true. The Philly cheesesteaks are $12.
Large Midget is a passionate fan, and he loves Pride Fighters, and that's all there is to it. You and Bloodstained Lane should get together and have a little viewing party.
I think I tweeted him to come on to the show. He never did anything back.
That bastard. Well, you know, not that we need
Large Midget was a
shit about there. I'm sorry.
Karma, you're there too, right? You're on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man. Great to hear from you. Can't wait to get the next installments of your saga. Glad things have sort of worked out, even though there were sort of bitches about your record. But whatever. There's always next time. Tell us a little more about sort of when you plan to go pro. You just like you have your fight in April, and then what happens after that?
I think at the end of this year, my goal is to get 5 amateur fights in. Pseudo. A poster on the front page. His brother has invited me to come down to Kansas City and fight him. So I guess I'll say this again on a radio show. If you want me to come down, you can put your amateur title on the line. You can pay my airfare. You can pay my hotel fare. Because I'm 2-1, you're 8-5, and you're the one with the big mouth who's not getting enough attention. As for going pro, when I go pro, I think I'm going to drop to 125. I think I'm going to go, what do they call it, flyweight? Okay. That's my plan. Because I wake up at like 136, 137 pounds every day.
Oh,
man.
Wow. I didn't know that. Damn, you're a tiny motherfucker.
Man.
I dropped like 9%
like
body
chick.
Fat in the last 2 months.
I have 30 pounds of straight fat on you, bro.
I got a nutritionist at the end of January, and I dropped close to 9 to 10% body fat. I've been dieting hard, man. A lot of people like... think, he's just out to get attention and shit, but I put a lot of work into it. My left leg resembles what Uriah Faber's leg looked like in after Jose Aldo got done with him. I'll take a picture and send you, but it's nasty.
Is that
right now.
Training?
Yeah, I ate some leg kicks. I tend to eat some to get in, stupid wrestlers. That's basically the game plan, see what happens, how healthy I am at the end of this year, because I mean, a lot of people go into the cage and they're like, oh, I'm 100%, I'm 110%. You're a lying bitch because you train combat sports. You get punched in the face when you train. So nobody is ever 100% when they go in the cage. So off you are, Matt, and I'll keep her up in the cage, Tatum, and then go pro next year, hopefully.
Awesome, man. We're all pulling for you. Right now, I want to invite Rex on the call because You know, I don't know if you heard it, Rex, but we were just talking about Bellator and how nobody cares. You would be the guy to talk to about this card coming up next weekend. So if you're hearing my voice, Dana, pick up the phone. Other than that, I don't know. What the hell else?
Yeah. What is going on? Is there anything else that deserves being talked about? Oh, we're still.
Yeah, I had a guy.
Hello, who's there?
Am I like live? It's Karma.
Hey, Karma. Hey, Karma. It's Mike.
Hi, Mike. I was going to say the whole steroid thing you guys are bringing up.
Yeah.
Personally, I know kids. I've been wrestling since I was about 9 years old, and I know kids whose parents used to buy them, like anabolic steroids and stuff for wrestling in high school. Okay.
Really? Those were some
yeah,
nice
really.
Parents. My parents wouldn't
That's
even
nice
get me like a Nintendo.
Well, I wrestled with some really intense kids, but I'm not going to name names because I don't do that. But I'm not. I'll take a page out of Midget's book. I'm not a snitch like a certain light heavyweight champion. But anyway, you know, I personally think there should be longer suspensions. If the UFC and Bellator and Shudo and all these companies don't want to do something about it, then the commissions have to step up, and they have to suspend these guys for longer periods of time so that they cannot make money. They have to, and if they violate it, then if they decide to go to another country, there has to be a stipulation that says you're banned for even longer. You just violated our rule, our law, our word is God, and you just violated it, so now you're banned for another year and a half. They have to step up because, I mean, a lot of people don't think it's bad. I think it's terrible, and I think it's more prevalent in amateur fighting than it is in pros, and I've seen guys go into amateur fights at 145, and I'm like, what the hell? What the fuck do you weigh? Oh, I'm 145. The fuck you are, you know? It's like, it's insane,
but
man.
That's interesting because, you know, obviously these amateur fights, like, is there any sort of drug testing? I
no,
don't know myself.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, they would probably find out that Nick Diaz and I share a similar bad habit. But
PCP.
Yeah, PCP. That's it. I got picked it up in New Jersey from all the money I got. But the you know, there's nothing. There's no guidelines at all. There's no random testing. The money's not there for it. It's terrible.
Wow. All right. Well, how can you cheer me up now? Now I'm bummed out thinking about stage moms giving their wrestler son steroids at an early age. It's like the male version of like Toddlers and Tiaras. This is horrible.
Yeah. JonBenet.
Oh,
JonBenet Jones.
We're not doing any favors for the free cage potato by exposing the whole freaking steroid dude.
If anybody is free on the April 9th, the best fight of that weekend, next to, I believe Diaz is fighting on the 9th, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, if you get bored of the Diaz fight, you can turn on KOTC and watch me fight. Because I'll be wearing a free cage potato shirt. And
wait, that's
I'll
the same
be,
night. Shit, okay. How do we
see? They're going to be on TV. They usually have a broadcast contract. I know that. I don't know if we'll be on TV that day or the day after or what they're doing. I'm not even on the advertisement, so I'm just going to go out there and knock their dude out and make them put me on the advertisement next time. Kind of pisses me off that I'm not getting the attention that I deserve. I wasn't hugged enough.
I hope we can get the video because we will absolutely put that up on the site. It's kind
I'm
of a big deal.
Try,
yeah,
but they have rules about that.
That's all good. Let's move on for a second because
Rex is on the call.
On the call, and I do want him to talk about Bellator for a bit. Are you there? Can you hear us?
I am here. I can hear you.
What's going on, man? How's the new job treating you?
There's not really a change of job. I'm in the same place, working with the same people. You know, I moved my desk all of like 5 feet just because I felt like it. So,
like I said, how's the same job? How's that treating?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's nice because I'm now officially working for the federal government. So, you know, once
can
I get
help
about
with
a
my
year under
at all?
I'll put in a good word for you.
Thanks, dude.
I know a guy that knows a guy.
I got my passport last week, so I think that's one step in the right direction. Or actually last month when I bought the house, so we'll see.
Actually started pulling some strings a couple of weeks back. So.
Cool. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, what can I do?
Maple syrup's in the mail.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Rex, we sort of got done talking about how, you know, we mentioned Bellator's poor ratings from last week, and there weren't really any named fighters on the card. This card, at least you have Eddie Alvarez, you know, defending his title against Pat Curran. I mean, as sort of a casual fan of Bellator, you know, I watch here and there. You know, that's the one I'm interested in seeing. Any other fights on this card on Saturday, Bellator 39, that are just worth getting psyched for?
Well, if you're a big fan of Ben Saunders, he's making his Bellator debut this weekend. I don't remember his opponent right off the top of my head, but I don't.
This guy named Matt Lee. Never heard of him either.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, a feature fight, you know, where they can show, look at this, you know, look and see how bad this guy is, you know, and Matt Lee's got a chance to make a name for himself if he can take out a UFC vet. Aside from that, you got Toby Yamada and Patricky Ferreira in the semifinals of the lightweight tournament, and that fight is, I got a boner right now.
Well, you had a boner before.
Well, yeah, that's actually true. And by the way, before I go any further, I got to remind you that on the front page or whatever on your talk show thing, you guys are rated A for all audiences. Please fix that, because I don't want to fucking censor myself, okay?
Wait, we have a rating? I had no idea.
I didn't know that. It's not no adults or anything?
Because I actually, like, scrolled over it to see, like, what the hell. There was a giant A next to the... Or not a giant A, but there's an A next to your logo. And I was like, we're rated A? That's awesome. Right?
Yeah.
But, not so much.
Man, huh. You probably have some Amish kids stealing internet listening to us.
Exactly. We could be, you know, doing some horrible damage right now.
Probably not, because only you and Large Midget. And,
yeah, there's only three of us on the call.
My cat are listening.
Yeah, but, you know, I just like to have this personal time with you guys, you know? It just means a lot to me.
The three non-members you see in that window are all children. That's what I think.
That's probably the case, yeah.
All right, so what about Rick Hahn versus Lyman Good? What can you tell me about these guys?
Rick Hahn, you know, he was a Olympic-level judo player. Really strong guy, really good work in the clinch. Just a really good upper body strength. Punches real fucking hard. And then Lyman Good, who, you know, used to be the champion at 170. Rick Hahn's still a little raw. Lyman Good is pretty complete, so he probably has an edge in it. But, you know, that's Bellator has proved that, you know, most of the fights are pick-em fights. They can really go either way, which is kind of the exciting thing to me, you know?
The other thing, too, is, like, just sort of moving ahead, I heard in April, Josh Gross reported that Cole Conrad is fighting Paul Buentello. I think it's a non-title fight. I guess
more than likely, yeah.
Cole Conrad busy. Your thoughts on that matchup?
To be completely honest, I'm not a huge fan of Cole Conrad. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like this classic, you know, immovable object kind of thing, which, you know, I don't want to watch that. You know, I have been really harsh on him in the past. He does look like he's making some improvement, but I would really like for him to work with like an Eric Paulson or a Jeff Munson, kind of character to get like a really good submission wrestling game. And then I'll be willing to watch him. Paul Buentello, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Throw him into the heavyweight mix. You know, Bellator's doing a really good job of, you know, picking through the refuse of other, organizations and just really making gold out of it, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, obviously I'm just a stupid fanboy.
No, you're not. You're our Bellator expert, Rex. We appreciate you.
I appreciate that.
Well, you know, thanks a lot for the insight. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up before we sort of wrap the show up, I guess? Any other topics?
Totally got nothing.
I got nothing.
I was completely unprepared when I called in, and I apologize.
I guess there's no word yet on the free cage potato party and stuff that's happening. We're still kind of in the process.
We can't reveal anything. Now it's still in the process. I do want to say just, you know, to everyone who listens to this, whenever you do, just continue to send those free cage potato tweets to Dana White for and us for a chance to win a free cage potato T-shirt. And those free cage potato sign the photos on facebook.com/cagepotato. We appreciate it. It's always fun seeing what you guys come up with. That's about it. Hopefully we'll be able to share more details soon. We will be in Montreal. Toronto. Fuck, I got to change my flight.
Same thing. Canada's pretty much just one big city, right?
Toronto is what I meant, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be a good time. I don't know.
Did you happen to send Dana the package you were going to send him?
I sent him the muffin basket. I got no response. It was extremely rude.
There was no pinkberry involved?
I'm sorry, what?
There was no Pinkberry involved?
No, I thought that was, you know, sort of well-traveled ground. Figured I'd give him a different look. Muffins and brownies, Mrs. Field. I guarantee you he ate all those fucking things.
Yeah, well, I probably had someone test them to make sure they weren't poisonous first. So, like, a Craig Borsari or somebody maybe had him make sure that we weren't sending him laxative of brownies.
Okay, hold on a second. Karma says he's got one more quick thing and he's out. What is it, Karma?
Oh, he's muted. Hold on.
Okay, well, real quick, just wanted to let you know, I still haven't gotten my free Cage Potato shirt in the mail. I just wanted to throw that one out there.
I put in the order today.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure it hadn't gotten lost or anything. You know.
If it makes you feel better, I haven't gotten one either yet.
Right? Wait, hold on a second. Is this Karma?
This is Karma now.
Wait, who is just talking?
That was Rex.
Yeah, Rex. That was me.
Rex, could you just resend your address to contest at Cage Potato or my personal address? We do know each other. And I'll make sure you get one.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks for calling
me
out. This is a really great radio, by the way. Call me out.
Absolutely. I'm here for the fucking entertainment.
All right. Wait, Lars.
Everybody noticed Chad's been rather quiet the last hour. I think he's left us.
Yeah.
No, I'm still here.
He just doesn't care.
I'm just contributing.
He's just working in the Crave Online column.
I'm just taking furious notes.
All right. You guys ready?
I'm sorry. Who wanted to say Karma? All right.
This is getting crazy. I just had to mix my pre-workout. I'm like hyper right now. I have one last thing I wanted to say. I wanted to thank the posters that have been supporting me on the forum. And I wanted to tell the haters to, if you don't like it, man, I'm Cage Potato for life. And if you got a problem with that, you know where to watch me. That's all I got to say. CagePotato.com.
Jeffrey Karma ate my cat Watts. You hear that, haters? You got nowhere to hide. Catch him on King of the Cage April 9th.
Take care, guys. I got to go to training.
Prove it. I want to see Jeff come out with a Cage Potato tattoo for that fight.
If you guys flip the cost, I was actually I might consider, because I actually have sleeves that are just about to be finished, and I'm getting a Nerd Rage tattoo on my left arm.
Well, there's Gus Johnson. We can get Gus's beautiful face on your
neck. I'm not going anywhere near Gus Johnson.
I was
going
to say, tattoo Gus Johnson's lips on your neck. I think that's
all right. Well, conversation's over on that note. Bye, guys.
Later on, dude.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening and being with us here. Hope you had a good time. I will plug one thing. Come back next week for the beginning of something really special. We've got our hottest women in MMA. I will plug
what the
one
hell is that?
Next week. Oh, I'm hearing myself. Really special.
Yeah, I'm hearing you too. I think that's probably a good time.
Sorry. I was going to plug.
Everything's going crazy. Okay, 2 seconds. Let me close this down and see if I can.
Sorry.
I was going to plug. What's that? Okay, go.
This show is awesome.
Next week. We have something really special going on. Hottest Women in MMA 2011 Grand Prix. The winner will be crowned based on your votes. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks again for listening. Thank you to Mike Russell. Thank you to Chad Dundas. Thank you, Rex, Large Midget, Karma.
You guys.
See you next time, kids. My bus.
In the backseat, driving, cruising, fast lanes, switching lanes with a car by my side. Passing by is a school bus in front of me. Makes tick-tock, wanna scream. Check my time, it's Friday, it's a weekend. We gonna have fun, come on, y'all.